Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's E-A-T-O-N. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God would move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
Friday and Saturday, and we're fasting and praying for those who are in the box. Had a wonderful testimony Sunday of the power of that kind of prayer. And so we're fasting and praying for Share the Love Sunday. And also we are inviting people to come and share with us this Share the Love Sunday. Amen. We do have some cards left over, and we're going to pass those out to those who would like to pass more out for this Share the Love Sunday. We're going to have a few, we'll call them observations after the lesson tonight, right before the prayer, and we're going to go into prayer. But let's look at our lesson tonight. We're continuing in this month of love, and we're believing that God can give us the love that we seek. God can give us the love that we seek during this month of love. And today we're going to be sharing a message entitled Victim of Love. Victim of Love, and we're going to be looking at Proverbs 7. 6 through 27 is a context. I believe I only have 6 through 23 in our reading. Let's read this together on three. It's Proverbs 7, 6 through 23. 1, 2, 3. Spread the word of Proverbs 7, 6 through 27. And again, we're looking at a message entitled Victim of Love. Victim of Love. We're going to notice from this text that the victim of love normally have, or they have three things in common when they are victims of love. The first thing they have in common is that they are simple-minded. The second victim of love is the stroller. The third victim of love is the seduced. And we're teaching this tonight to let Christians know that they should be wise in love. They should be wise in love. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you should be wise when it comes to love. Number one need that most people have, and they realize that they have, sometimes even more so than God, is a desire to be loved. A desire to be loved and a desire to love. And many times when we are not taught how to love, or taught biblical love, we become victims of love. Because we want love so much that sometimes we will compromise even our beliefs in God. We want love so much that we'll compromise this word of God to get it. And most people, especially if they grew up in the church, and if they had everything right, many times this is the one area in life that they get wrong, is love. That's why it's important for us to talk about this, because again, it's one of the major needs that we realize that we need even more so than God. And let me say parenthetically that really the deep vacuum in your heart that seeks unconditional love, really the only way you can get that is really through a close personal relationship with God. Because it doesn't matter if you meet the right person, that person will never be able to meet all of your needs. That person will never, and they can be good people, good, great, godly, praying people, but there's no one person in this life that can meet your every need, other than God himself. So if we have God right, then the second need is that of love of human beings. And we're going to see tonight in this text someone who was a victim of love. A victim of love. First of all, we're going to see that this young man in the text, it was twilight in the evening and he was taking a stroll. And the text says that he came across the street near the house of an immoral woman. And he was strolling the path down her house. Oh, first of all, we're going to see that this young man who became a victim of love is that he was simple-minded. Say, preacher, how you know that he was simple-minded? Well, the text say he was. And I saw a simple-minded young man who lacked common sense. Who lacked common sense. And if there was any area of life where you can evaluate some folk, and you see some of the kind of people that they date or that they have married, you think, They kind of lack common sense. There's some folk that I challenge the singles to bring that person that you're considering being in a serious relationship to me, and I can look at it. A lot of times I can just look at them and tell whether or not they are a good person or not. But this young man in the text was a simple-minded young boy, and he lacked common sense. And when it comes to love, there are many Christians who lack common sense. Let me give you some good examples of that. And if this is you, then we're praying that God will change you tonight, okay? Number one, people who are simple-minded about love believe that they can just fall in love. I can say every time I'm talking about this area of love, anything that I've ever fell into was not anything that was good. It's simple-minded to think that I'm just going to fall in love, especially if I'm a Christian, because the Bible says that the person, it tells us, to do not be unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. So how can you fall in love with somebody unless you know something about them to know at the very least that they are a believer? Now let me challenge your concept of what a believer is. A believer is somebody who is practicing the Christian faith. A believer is somebody that is living wholeheartedly for the Lord. A believer is somebody, not just say that they are a Christian to where you can check it off and say, okay, they are a Christian, but many times there are people who are preaching and have positions in the church, and through their behavior you can say that they are not believers. So we're not just talking about what they say, we're talking about what they do. And simple-minded people will hear them say that, oh, I'm a Christian. And you say, oh, you're a Christian, check it out. Okay? But you'll never, and there are a lot of ladies that leave themselves open because they stop thinking after that they hear that they are a Christian. And they never look at their character and their lifestyle. Even in the relationship. If he is a man of God and you are single, then he won't be trying to sleep with you. Hello? That's not the action of a true believer. As a matter of fact, he'll be trying to avoid it until marriage. But simple-minded folk hear that word and say, oh, I'm a Christian. And they check it off the list and they wind up being victims of love and being led astray from their faith. It horrifies me how I see that some Christian women and men, they seem holy, they seem sanctified, they began to date, and then you say, what happened to them? They disappear. Say, wait a minute, did the rapture happen and I missed out? They're simple-minded. They believe they can fall in love. Another simple-minded thing about love is that they believe in love at first sight. They're simple-minded to think that you're going to fall in love with somebody at first sight. How can you do that? I don't care how good they may look like an angel, but then live like the devil. And we learned during our spiritual warfare series that even Lucifer himself was what? Beautiful. Hello? So how can you distinguish by just looking, love at first sight? And people who are simple-minded in this area have no common sense, and they look at that person because they look a certain way, because they look like Holly or Pamela or Denzel or Passy Tom. They think, oh, he must or she must be really good. She must be a Christian. She looked like a Christian. She looked like an angel. Hello? That's simple-minded thinking about love. No love at first sight either. You have to know something about the person. As a matter of fact, you should know the character of the person. You should know the character of the person. Not only that, a simple belief of a simple-minded belief of love is there are people who believe in the mysterious, the one. Have you found the one? And I can tell Christians all the time that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have found the one. Hello? If he is the one, and anybody else may or may not be in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Because one of the reasons we don't believe in just there being the one, what if you find the one and the one go on to be with the Lord? Does the Lord want you to stay a widow your whole life? Paul, as a matter of fact, wrote and he said, he told all those widows, those young widows, that they need to get remarried. Hello? If they didn't have the gift of singleness, then they need to get remarried. So then, if you have that simple-minded concept about the one, you will not be able to obey what God's word says and what's best for you. Simple-minded thinking about love. Especially for married folk, if for married people, if you got married, if you fell in love, you've learned by now that that don't mean nothing because you're out of love right now. What happened? You fell in love, then why didn't you stay down? Hello? If you fell in love, stay down, man. If you fell in love, why are you getting up? You learn very quickly in marriage that you can't live a marriage on a mattress. Hello? There are responsibilities as married couples that you have. And like we said last week, you just can't just be looking off the starry-eyed in one other's eyes. Think we're just going to live off love? No! You married. Also, if you have this simple-minded belief, and you believe that love at first sight, you had a first child, you had a second child, you had a third child, she's changing. Yeah. Years go by, years go by. And I can almost tell you with every one of us, if you have a picture of me 20 years ago as opposed to me today, I can guarantee you I probably looked better 20 years ago than I did today. But if you base your marriage on what you saw at first sight, and you're getting older, what will happen? Well, we know what happens. You know what happens. If that was the basis, that's why you see a lot of older men. Hello? That's why they got this club called the First Wife's Club. And older, they be looking messed up too. Older, beer belly, beer gut, going out with somebody that's 18 years old. Because that's the kind of love that they believe in, love at first sight. The physical only. That's not something, and many of you married people have found this out the hard way, that's not something that you can build a life on. You're simple-mindedly thinking about that. But also, if you're simple-mindedly think about, finding the one, and I wish I could say that every married couple will die at the same time. But it doesn't happen that way. A lot of times, statistics tells us is that the ladies normally outlive the men. Statistics tells us that. Should I say that since you've lost that person, what if you're still young? Should you forever remain committed The Lord wants to take me away. Like Sister Etan will be committed to me for the rest of my life. She would never get married again. She would take my cash and put it in the living room and pay homage to me every day. You have to get that little urn, okay? Get the little urn, put it up there with a picture of me. Oh, that's my beloved husband. Am I dreaming? Sister Etan look a little young. She may go on with her life. Yeah, give her time to mourn. 1 to 2 years, and buddy. To which the Bible tells us that we are married until where? Till death do us part. And I like to say a natural death too, because, you know, some people some people want to help God out. No, a natural death. So we see this simple-minded young man, he was simple-minded and he lacked good common sense. And we see that it is best to love wisely, no doubt. Your choice is the greatest indicator of the happiness of your marriage than anything else. Unless God is in people's lives, the only way a person changes is through Christ, having a close personal relationship with God through Christ Jesus our Lord. If they don't have that, then people will never change. People will never change. And you can get into something that you wish that you hadn't. That's why you have to be wise. That's why you have to be wise. And married couples, you have to recapture some of that drop that brought you together. You know, that's why you, as a married couple, you know, that's always should be some element of attraction anyway. You should make sure you take good care of yourself so you can look good. I remember being by Dr. E.K. Bailey's side as he was battling with cancer. Dr. E.K. Bailey was a very big man. And his battle with cancer had made him slim again. And he was sad, and he was sharing with his wife. And he was sad because his life, his body had changed. And she told him, "Now you're the man that I married. That's the way you looked when I first married you." So we have to not be simple-minded and remember that a marriage relationship takes work. We should maintain ourselves. We should try to remember the certain elements that drew us together and be willing to work at love. Simple-minded folk think that love just happens. But love doesn't just happen. A good marriage relationship doesn't just happen. That's why I encourage some of the married people to pick up this book, The Love Dare, because it would help you recapture some of the things that you probably was doing when you were dating in the first place. Because it takes work. Simple-minded people think that it just happens. I'm going to live happily ever after. That's Hollywood, honey. It takes work. Don't be simple-minded when it comes to love, because if you become simple-minded, you're going to be a victim of love. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a victim of anything. And especially not love. Let's see the second point. The stroller. Verse 8, it says, he was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, and he was strolling down the path by her house. Victims of love, they like to stroll. They end up in all kinds of dangerous places, especially when it comes to love. Many people looking for love, they do what the country song says, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, looking for love. Yeah, I know I had a little country in me, didn't you? But trying to find love, they're strolling places. This man, the whole neighborhood knew about the woman. They knew she was a moral woman. She had a reputation, but yet he's just strolling. He's just strolling. Near her house. Coming up on dark, he was strolling, and some theologians believe that he really wanted to meet this woman. Because strollers like to be with easy women. Let me say that again. Strollers like to be with easy women. They don't want to work. Sometimes they just rather pay for it and be done with it. Hello? The stroller is also somebody that looks for love in all the wrong places. You see him, or you used to see him. Hopefully you're not this person. Many times the stroller looking for love strolls to the nightclub. The club. Looking for love at the club. Probably the worst place that you can ever look for a mate is at the club. Because people at the club, and they really after looking for love. I think 50 Cent wrote a song about it. Hello? And they go to the club, and they put on their fancy dress, and they're trying to find somebody at the club. It's wrong place. They're drinking at the club. They're doing drugs at the club. Some ladies looking for love go there and say, oh, I just like to dance. And maybe some of them do just like to dance. Oh, you just like to dance. Why you got on that hoochie dress? You're just to dance. Why are you not in a warm-up or something if it's just about dancing? I don't know. I'm just making an observation. I don't know. I ain't been to a club in a long time. And I'm scared to go because I might go there and see some of y'all there. Dropping it like it's hot. I said, what? In church, she won't raise her hand, but boy, she know how to do that dip thing, don't she? I'm trying to tell you. Odds are against you in that kind of context. You know, some may. There's always an exception to a rule, but generally, when you're not sober, it's not a good time to look for a mate for a lifetime. Another way that they're strolling these days, another way they're strolling is that they're on reality TV. Simple-minded, thinking that they can go to a reality TV show and find real love. Hello, The Bachelor. Or The Bachelor, that's Flavor of Love. All kind of shows where women are supposed to be looking for love. Strolling in all those kinds of places. And you see, and I feel sorry, especially for those women on The Bachelor. Because The Bachelor normally is a player-player. Player-player, pimp, hustler. They look nice, but they're kissing on every girl there. Supposed to be trying to find love. And she's simple-minded. Oh, when we're together, we're the only one in the room. And the 20 other women there. Hello. Strolling. Trying to find love on a television show. Strolling. There's some other folk, they try to stroll online. Online. There's one woman on Dr. Phil's show. Was in a close relationship with a man she thought was a man ended up being a 16-year-old girl in a different country. And they making plans to get married. That's why it's a dangerous place, because folk can say who they want to say that they are. Take on whole different personas. So you need to meet somebody in person. So don't be the stroller. Don't stroll in places, especially if you are married. Because when you're discontent with your marriage, a lot of times you find yourself strolling, to lunch with this single woman that makes you feel good. Calling it business. Yeah. We're going to do a little business over lunch. Hello? Strolling over phone conversation, strolling over text. She ain't your husband, or he ain't your husband. Here, the folk talking to married men and married women, strolling, looking for love in all the wrong places. Oh, simple-minded person, if they married, they're not a good mate for you. They're married. But that's what people do. They stroll. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman. He knew what he wanted, and he was strolling down the path by her house. H. Lawrence says this, those that go seeking for love only manifest their own lovelessness. And the loveless never find love, only the love, the loving find love. And they will never have to seek it. And that's the thing about a woman or a man of God, is that you don't have to seek love. Most of the times, single folk in the church, they are single-mindedly devoted to finding a mate as opposed to single-mindedly devoted to the Lord. God wants you to be single-mindedly devoted to the Lord, and in due time, he'll bring you a mate. You don't have to stroll nowhere. You can be in the most desolate place. And if you're faithful to the Lord, he'll bring that person to you or take you to that person. I have that testimony. That's what it did for me. I was out in West Texas. The Lord brought me my mate because I was committed to the Lord. I didn't have to go strolling. I had to go to the club trying to dance. I ain't got no rhythm, no way. So married people, if you're looking for love and you're tempted to stroll, God is saying to you tonight, maybe you need to stroll in your own bedroom tonight. Maybe you need to stroll and put on some luta tonight. Light the candles. Maybe, as the song sings, to say, if you can't be with who you love, then love the one you're with. Don't stroll! The last point is, if you don't want to be a victim of love, you don't want to be a victim of love. Victims of love are seduced. This is what she said to him. This is what she said. She said, come, let us drink. Are full of love until morning, and let enjoy each other's caress. Seduced. Many times that's why clubs are not a good place to find someone to really truly love, is because that's all they want to do is a one night stand anyway. Out for a one night stand. But this woman began to seduce him. Oh, and the text tells us a little earlier about how she seduced him. The text tells us a little earlier that how she was dressed. Well, first, a little earlier, it says that that she threw her arms around him and kissed him. Nobody needs to be kissing on me but Sister Eton. From the brazen lips, she said, and this is how Christian folk are seduced, men or charmed women. She said, I offered my sacrifice and just finished my vow in verse 14. And she says, it's you I was looking for. She said, I just went to church. I just paid my tithes, and God said he was going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and guess what? You it. She seduced him. She said, I've been to church today. I've been to church. Before I went to church, I did a little something to my bed in verse 16. I put some perfume on in verse 17. And she's talking about, come, let us drink our full of love until evening. She said, and let us enjoy each other's caress. But verse 19 should have been enough for him to run. She said, for my husband is not home. He should say, oh, no, honey, I'm going to pack up my bag. No, 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 no. I'm getting up out of here. That was enough information. I didn't know you was married. Many times, it's people who are married, not living right, that mess up a lot of things. You know, I was a singles pastor at Concord Missionary Baptist Church. One of the biggest complaints I got from a lot of the single sisters there was that the married men were hitting on them. Married men. In the church! Hello? Hello? Not simple-minded about the things of God. You know, the devil hangs out where Christians are. It shouldn't surprise you. It's spiritual warfare. This woman was married. He should have said, I got to go. But then verse 21 says, so she seduced him with her speech. Not that I make it a habit, but sometimes I look at Oprah. Today, they were sharing a story about why men cheat. Why men cheat. And I agree wholeheartedly with what he was saying, the author of the book. He said, men cheat because they don't feel admired. And a lot of times the other woman won't even look better than you do. Won't have a better job than you do. And the only key to her success is the way she make him feel. She flatters him. Hello? During the last marriage series, I told you that men desire one thing, and that's respect. And if you can get that down, you'll have a loving relationship. And it's your job as his wife to stroke his ego. That's how the old folk used to say. Stroke his ego. Because if you don't, somebody else will. And when somebody else do it, I don't care how holy, how sanctified he is, he'll be vulnerable. And she giving him all them flattering words. And the wife at home, you didn't take out the trash. Your socks stink. Oh, why can't you do your own washing? Why can't you do your own cleaning? Why can't you cook? Why? Nay. Down in the mouth. Getting his number every time. He's frustrated. Don't want to come home at night. Always saying, I got to work over tonight. Don't have a room in the house. He can't stay in the house. He got his room in the garage, a special room for him in the garage. If I'm meddling, I tell the Zita, I ain't going to no garage. I'll be in my living room. I'm up in there. I'm up in there. Yeah. She don't like the way I keep it. You got clothes, everything around. I'm up in there. And what if people drop by? I'm comfortable in my living room. They can't understand that. So it's a little junkie. It's not even messy. She's just perfect. She's just perfect. She used to stand in a museum. But anyway, I'm not leaving home. Ain't nobody gonna be out there flattering me. I'm at the house. But this woman in the text knew how to talk to him. Oh, probably the same way you used to talk to him when you first met him. Hello? You didn't raise your voice when you first met him. Hello? You let him think he could get anything, baby. Sweetheart, honey poo, sugar plum. You got married, you switched up. Oh, you just don't, you black. Oh. It says in verse 22, so she seduced him. How did she seduce him? And many people, and people on that Oprah show were saying, oh, men cheat. It's all about sex, sex, sex. No, it's not all about sex, sex, sex with good men. And that's what he was talking about, when good men cheat. Now, a dog is a dog is a dog. If you married a dog, if he's a dog before he met you, he'll be a dog after you met him. If he cheated on you during the relationship and you went ahead on and married him, that's on you. You were simple-minded. You were simple-minded and thinking, my love gonna change him. No, honey. Your love ain't got no power. I'm sorry to put you down. But if God won't control him, what makes you think you can? But anyway, she seduced him with flattering words. That's what it's normally about. For good men who cheats. They don't plan it. They get seduced. Women talk to them in a sweet way, probably the same way that their wives used to speak to them. And pretty speech, she says. And she flattered with her flattery. She enticed him with her flattery. She enticed him. Interesting. Not the hoochie dress that she had on, with her flattery. That's how to divorce-proof your marriage, is you've got to flatter him. And women, and I hear this all the time, men, you have to love her. Love her. Love her. But the text, this contextual, is talking about a man. And this is how to affair-proof your marriage. You've got to flatter him. You've got to treat him like a king. Like a king. Sister Eton, like a king. You say, boy, you're going to be in trouble once you leave. You say, boy, you're real bold behind that mic, but we know what's going to happen when you get home. Yeah, we call it. We cannot stay in your garage tonight. You say, man, that's okay. I got the key to the room down there. I'll be all right. Pray for me. Let me get back to the text. But that's a man. And also, that's the key to a woman, too. Because men, they don't necessarily seduce a woman, but they charm a woman. And it's virtually the same thing. It's virtually the same thing, a little different. But he acts like Casanova. And I like to tell Christian single women, if he's saying all of the right things, he's the wrong person. Yeah, he too good. He got it down. He's very disciplined. He know what to say. Women say, well, you know what to tell me before I think. Oh, yeah, he's very skilled. He just told that woman he was talking to 10 minutes ago the same thing. He became very disciplined. Yeah, know how to put them words together. Charm us. You got to watch him. Some of the greatest players, pimps, and hustlers, sometimes they stand right behind the mic teaching the word of God. They smooth with their words. And they use their words when they put this down and use them words. They'll be using God's word, but sometimes they do. And if you're simple-minded, you'll fall for it. If you're a stroller, you'll fall for it. You open anyway. But God tells us tonight, don't be a victim of love. Love is too important. He's saying to the married couples, oh, ladies, you need to seduce your husband, and men, you need to charm your wife. The same rap that you rapped to her before you met her. Was that song, the song said the same thing it took to get your baby hooked is the same thing it's going to take to keep her. So you had your rap on. You had your rap down now. But now she know you. That's why this book can do for your marriage, the love there. It gives you homework assignments. One example in this book for married couples, and that's how you have to relight your fire. The first one is based on, like I said, Sunday, about being patient. It says here, and some of you who saw the movie Fireproof may have heard it, the first part of this dare to it's fairly simple. Although love is communicated in a number of ways, our words often reflect the condition of our hearts. And it says, for the next day, resolve to demonstrate patience and to say nothing negative to your spouse at all. If the temptation arises, choose not to say anything. It's better to hold your tongue than to say anything you'll regret. That's based on the word about love being patient. I preached that Sunday about being patient in love, and the Lord tested me. That's one of the things that I kind of like to do. You know, after we shut down and get ready and have to leave, you know, I'm sweaty and I'm just ooky. Just feel ooky. And you know, and I like to just go straight home. And Sunday, it didn't happen that way. We were in the same car. And I had to sit there in the car and wait for my wife. Normally, what I do is I text her, I call her, say, come on, let's go, honey. The Lord just said, do the word, dummy. Sit here and wait. Don't say nothing negative. Just sit here and be patient. Hello, am I stepping on somebody's toes? Somebody? I know I am. If your husband or wife want to sit around and talk to everybody in the church, and you're in the same car, and you want to go home, love is patient. God convicted me very seriously of that. Why complain? Why? Don't make no sense. Thank you, Jesus. I just lost the message. No, it's good. But that's true. That's dynamics of a pace, of being patient. Why? Why complain? Why say something negative? Why be bitter? Just wait. Wait. That's hard, isn't it? For some, that's the first dare. And, and that little principle can make a big difference in a marriage. Especially about that saying, not saying anything at all. That's what the old folk used to say. If you can't say anything good, what? Don't say nothing at all. It could help your marriage. It could help your marriage. So married couples, you need to learn to seduce and charm one another. If not this book, some book on marriage that can help you to make it through, because many times we forget. That's why I like to go over this once a year. It's like a maintenance in our marriages, because sometimes we forget. We go through day-to-day life and we forget the real and true things about relationships. But if you don't seduce him or charm him, somebody else will. Read this and then we'll go into prayer. The more we are filled with thoughts of lust, which what he was in the text, all she wanted was a one-night stand, the less we'll find the true romantic love. Let me say that again. The more we are filled with the thoughts of lust, the less we will find true romantic love. I think that's deep. I think that's deep. And we're going to pray that we don't become victims of love. We're going to pray that God will heal marriage relationships. And we're going to pray that God would deliver those who may be in between. We're going to pray that God will provide the love that some singles may desire, that they may not be victims of love by compromising God's word. No one should be a victim of love, but everyone should experience true love. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you deserve true love. Don't compromise. Shall we pray? Father God, we come this evening, Lord, just want to thank you, Lord, for this example, Lord. Many times we can learn from negative examples, Father. This text shows us what happens when we're simple-minded about love, when we go looking for love in all the wrong places, when we put ourselves in places and are seduced, Father. And Father, we come tonight, Lord, praying, Lord, in this month of love, believing by faith that you can give us the love that we seek, Father. Whether we are a married couple, Lord, that's set in our negative ways, we pray, Lord, that you would loose this couple right now in Jesus' name. For the devil looks to seek to destroy, to kill, to steal, and destroy their relationship, Father. But tonight, Father, we're praying, Lord, that you will enable them to resist the devil, Father. That he may flee from their household, Father, in Jesus' name. Especially, Father, especially for those who are trying to do something for you, Father, and are committed to your ways and committed to your work and want to be used of you, Father. We pray for those couples, Lord, that you put your hedge of protection around them, keep them safe from all harm, that you will enable them to manifest agape love, manifest, Lord, romantic love, Father. We want to lose some relationship tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name. For we believe, Father, that you can give us the love that we seek. And as a matter of fact, that's what a husband and a wife is supposed to do for one another, is to be the physical manifestation of your love towards them, Father. So enable us, each husband and wives, to get on our jobs in Jesus' name, and to stop leaving one another open, Father, to flattery of other women and flattery of other men, open to being seduced or charmed in Jesus' name. May we as married couples seduce and charm one another, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, Lord, for that person, Lord, that may be in between, Lord. Oh, Father, your word talks about the widows, Father, and Lord, how the widows have lost a mate, Father, and there's some widows in the house tonight, and we pray, Lord, that you would comfort them. We pray, Lord, that you would care for them. We pray, Lord, that you would manifest yourself in a way, Father, that they can experience your love, Father, as individuals, that they can experience being full of your love, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will manifest, Lord. Your word says that Jesus knocks on the door of the church looking for somebody to fellowship with. And we pray, Lord, that you would comfort and care for such a time as this, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you will enable them, Father, to mourn, Father, not as those who have no hope, but to mourn and know, Lord, that their future may be brighter than their past, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. Pray, Lord, for those other people who are single, Father, either single never married or single between marriages, Father, maybe going to a divorce, Lord. And many times we go to a divorce, Lord, because we were looking for love in all the wrong people, Father. And Lord, you know I'm a testament of this, of having made that mistake. And Father, oh, there's somebody at the sound of my voice. They've been looking for love in all the wrong people, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you would help them, Father, to get through such a time as this, Father. If they're going to a divorce, we pray, Lord, that you will heal their wounded heart in Jesus' name, and that you will enable us as a church to not be to treat them as if they have a scarlet letter, Father, because we know that your word says that there is only one impardonable sin, and that's to reject the Holy Spirit of God. And whether they're going to a divorce or they're making their fault or not, we believe by faith that healing can take place at this time. We believe by faith that they will not, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make the same mistake twice or a second time or a third time, Lord. For there's some listening at the sound of my voice that may have been divorced twice, Lord. But we're praying, Lord, that you will heal their broken and wounded heart, their desire for love, that inclines them to look for love in all the wrong people. And may they substitute the love that they're looking for with the love of Christ himself, and come to a point where they believe by faith that from this point on that they will never compromise again in Jesus' name, that they're going to be holy, that they're going to be sanctified, that they're going to be set apart, Father, in the same way Jesus Christ himself was set apart, having never married, in the same way that Paul himself was set apart as a single who was thought at one time to be married, but you use him as a single man. And we pray, Lord, that you will touch and reach those who are single in this place. May they feel, may they not feel as if they're only half a person, Lord. For we know, Lord, that they are whole by themselves. And that the only one that they really need is Jesus Christ. And if they've accepted him, then that's the only one that they need. And Father, but we do pray in due time that you provide a mate for them, Father. In due time, that you would break down the walls, Lord. In due time, that you will provide what they need, Father. In Jesus' name. That we may not be victims of love. But that our love relationship will be a true reflection of Christ in the church, which is the mystery of marriage, Father. So, Father, we turn and we look to you, Father, to enable us to do what some of us don't even have a good model of what to do.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program, and before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love to believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. If you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church, where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. You must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've called this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. And he raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. And I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. And again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.